Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 in season 2 of the Guitar Nerds podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Baranton, joined this week by Jake Ross.
Hi, Joe.
Matt Knight.
Nam.
And Naomi McLeod.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Yes, and of course, it is Believe in Music Week, which is, for some reason, what we're calling NAMM 2021 this year. But
Speak for yourself. I'm calling it NAMM.
I don't know. It's very annoying. It's a very long name. And the hashtag Believe in Music has been used like a billion times before. It is more difficult to find stuff. But surprisingly, despite the fact that it is a virtual event for the first time this year, there is a whole bunch of cool stuff that's being released, like more than I was expecting. Fine, not as much as we might expect from a normal NAMM, but there's certainly some super cool releases, and we're going to try and talk about some of our favourite ones from that list.
I mean, you say that, but I wonder if this is just the same thing as what has happened at other points during last year, where, you know, we're not there, we're not in and amongst it. And
anxiety.
It's just these things. Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. But I think it's, we talked about it during Gear of the Year last year about how there was so much stuff that we felt like probably just passed us by because we didn't go to shows and we weren't going into shops. And I wonder if it's just the same thing, you know, there's, because I mean, looking at this list you've put together, there's quite a lot of very cool stuff there. Yeah. And I think there's, you know, just as much as we would normally talk about.
Maybe you're right. There's certainly some absolutely fantastic things. I was sort of getting worried as news started to be announced. You know, there was it was like all power supplies and pedal boards and clip-on tuners. And I was like, my goodness, is this going to be...
what is your problem?
But there have actually been some absolutely stonking releases. So I'm very excited about the things we're going to talk about. Before we dive into everything, just at the start of this podcast, I'd like to remind the listener that each month we'll be donating a portion of our profit to a new charity. And for January, we're donating to helpmusicians.org.uk, a UK charity that's supporting all of the musicians who are out of work, mainly in the touring committee and touring community, and putting together an emergency fund for them to see them through this very tricky time. So you can check that out, dear listener, at helpmusicians.org.uk. That's that bit done. But yes, we've got some, there's so much stuff to go through. But before we start on that, Matt Knight, you've been sanding down guitars this week.
I got the hand sander. Basically, I don't know if you've ever used a Black & Decker Magic Mouse, which is the hand sander. After about half an hour, it's extremely painful. It vibrates with such force that you can't actually use it for very long.
That sounds really good for musicians.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thankfully, I only play about 2 notes every 10 bars, so, you know.
Oh, God.
I can still play the old ambient. So for a while, I've thought, I love my beer baritone Chapman, but I'm like, I'm not into the look of it in some ways. No, that sort of like crimson.
Satin crimson to black burst. It's very not you. It's very modern metal.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it sounds pretty good. It's got, you know, a Hot Rail style humbucker in, a normal humbucker in it. And I was like, but it's not still. I really want a baritone. Generally love the sound of it. I was like, nope, that's it. You know, lockdown three. I'm going in. So I bought three different sandpaper grits. And was like, which one takes the finish off quicker?
Have you done this before?
No. Last time I took sandpaper to a guitar was the back of my SG for a little bit. And I just used some random sandpaper that I found.
So this was a pretty substantial job.
It was all right. I did a bit of research, and by that I mean I Googled what sandpaper to strip a guitar with once. And then it was just like, okay, right, these three grits, use the hand sander, and the whole finish came off, I would say, in about 20 minutes.
Wow. That's not bad at all. Naomi, how did you sand your Bronco?
Are you going to make me talk about this again? Because it's kind of traumatic. If you really want me to say it again, it was a chisel.
And, well, I guess it was.
I've admired many road-worn Fender models over the years and been like, I wonder how they do that. And then fast forward to 2 a.m. in my kitchen, trying not to make noise, being angry that I didn't own a sander, being angry that I didn't have enough sandpaper. And there you go. My Bronco was very cool at the end.
Probably quite a thick finish though, I guess, isn't it? Because it would have been poly lacquer.
Budget poly.
Yeah.
It came off like a horrible shell.
What is the what's the finish on the beer baritone then,
it's
Matt?
It's pretty much just satin paint.
Right.
Right.
So I don't even know if it was necessarily really sealed. It probably was with a very, very thin coat of something. So the whole thing came off in about 20 minutes with a hand sander at 180 grit. Then I went over the whole thing again in 160. And then I went over the whole thing again in 120. And then I used quadruple O steel wire wool. And then this was the part that I have done before and it worked. Wax, which unfortunately I did use beeswax, and I've seen on the notes, Joe, that you found some vegan wax, which I would have used if I had looked past Amazon. Basically you get that all over the finish, let it dry, and then you take the sandpaper kind of holder off the hand sander. Just a microfiber cloth, and you buff the entire thing with a microfiber cloth and wax, and it comes out amazingly. So now I have a natural finished flame topped beer baritone, which I've just ordered a new Sunbear humbucker. So I'm going one single humbucker with volume and kill switch. Because I'd had a Italia guitar that I did the same thing to once, and I missed that guitar dearly. So I thought, you know what? All I need is one humbucker and a kill switch.
So you're gonna leave the cavity open in the neck?
Yeah, yeah, right, it's fine. Yeah. It's like when I had the a custom shop Telly for a while, which I took the scratch plate off and the neck pickup out, and then just did the Esquire with the channel. And it looks wicked.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. I guess everyone seems to have picked up stuff. I mean, speaking about wax, yes, I did get hold of some Dr. Ice Axe Wax recently.
Mr. Cool Ice.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Cool Ice is what I was thinking of as well. Yeah.
Anyway, it's very good. I got one of their little packs. They do, because they do like a fretboard conditioner as well, and you can get a pack with a cloth, the fretboard conditioner, and the axe wax, which is like a UV protective, moisture protective, sweet candy scented vegan non-beeswax formula, and it lasts for ages as well. You can use a very, very small amount on your guitar and coat it and seal the whole thing and make it very lovely. So I was very impressed with that, with the Dr. Ice Axe Wax.
What did you use it on then? Is that something you're using on like open poured finish guitars or?
Well, you wouldn't have to, but yes, I have been spending a bit of time with the project of my Music Master bass, my 1977 Fender Music Master, which had been, it was black, but the person who'd owned it previously had filled in any knocks, and there seemed to be quite a few. I think it looked like someone had put a whole bunch of tape around it at one point, and then when they'd taken it off, the finish had all come off, because you can see the sort of the tracks of the tape, and they filled in that with what must be black nail polish, but it's quite drippy, the nail polish, as in it's dried with
drips.
Know, with drips. Oh, yeah. So it's kind of cool. I really like how punk rock it is, but I was like, I kind of want to take this down a bit, maybe, you know, give it a bit more of a, it can have a cool relict look. So I was just sanding that out as best I could. Again, I was using a fine sandpaper just by hand, and then the 0000 wire wool to finish it off. And then, yeah, using the axe wax after that. But I thoroughly recommend it. I think it's really good stuff. And on top of that, just whilst we're talking about things I got and accessories, I got a Rode E3.
That's the expensive tuner, right?
It's, yeah, but like you just, it's got like a whole display, like a color display. You like turn it on and it's like, hello, Joe, what guitar are you playing? Or is it a mandolin or a ukulele? But not a bass. We don't do bass. So you pick what you
really
want. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a separate one for bass. And so you pick the instrument that you want, and then you can like, you can even save presets in there. So if I was like, oh yeah, I use this guitar in drop C, I can save that. And, you know, save one in standard tuning, and then you can name them. So I could have named that like my Harmony Juno, and then I can just select the Harmony Juno, and you know, you place the Rode E3 onto each tuning peg, hit the note, and it will machine tune it to pitch. It's very good. I really enjoyed it. It's also a metronome.
Does the
it would want to be for that price.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Does the so the thing spins, right? You put it up, you hold
You've got to hold it, yeah.
You hold that, and then the bit that you put the machine head into, that spins.
Yeah, that's right.
Right,
yeah.
That spins automatically. Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. Is that the metronome? Does that spin? Does it go like
click, I've never used click, the metronome. Click. Let me try and turn it on.
I wonder if that like that'd be cool if that.
Let me just turn it on.
It doesn't tune your guitar
hello,
like
Joe.
Metronomically.
Hello, Rode E3.
So it just goes in between standard tuning and a flat tuning at the tempo that you've desired.
Oh, here we are. Standard. Oh no, I don't have a Kappa one.
Why would it matter?
Exit, please. Here we are. Add instrument, edit instruments.
This is how the singularity happens. This is it.
I can't work it out.
Joe's tuner is going to take over this podcast.
Hold on, I've got an instruction manual here.
Skynet.
Let me go through it. No, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it's.
You sure it does
what? Metronome. A metronome on there. I just, you know, I can't find it. But anyway, it's really good. I really like it. I like gimmicky things like that. Speaking of accessories, Naomi, you've picked up something new this week.
I have something. I'm not sure when it was released, but I was surprised I hadn't come across it on my travels. I'm getting a Groove Gear Fump, which is the dampener cousin of the fret wrap that we are probably all quite familiar with by now.
Yeah.
So basically it is a product that replaces the kind of foam or sponge trick that a lot of us bassists like to use to quite literally kind of dampen and mute our notes to try and get that more upright sort of tone. And basically works almost like, if you don't have a visual reference, almost like, I suppose, a hair slide. That's like...
I was going to say, it defeats the classic sock that you'll probably get, like most guitar players are like, yeah, we'll just use a sock or some old stinky hairband.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a far more sophisticated solution.
You put it on the frets, not on the bridge.
No, so this is bridge side. So it sits on the strings close to your bridge and can be mounted from the top or from the bottom.
I see.
But yeah, essentially it removes or does away with the need to pan mute. And as someone who's been directly and indirectly attacked for my particular mute style in the past, I thought, excellent, this will ward off the bullies.
You play flats though as well.
I play both. So that's why I'm really excited actually to kind of try this on rounds, because I use stainless steel as well. So, you know, they're not the darkest of round wounds either. So yeah, I'm quite curious to see if it'll be super, super thumpy and muted on the flats and a little less so on the rounds. So I'll report back. The demo I watched anyway was the player had some pretty bright rounds on there and popped on the fump and it went full Jamerson basically.
Awesome.
So yeah.
I've got to tell you, so we've got the Dr. Ice Axe Wax and the Grov Gear Thump. Yeah. I mean,
yes, we have.
You lot buy some utter nonsense, didn't you?
Coming from
what
Mr.
is going
accessory?
On here? Honestly.
You love accessories, Jay.
I do love accessories. I just like real ones, not made up ones, like Dr. Ice Axe Wax.
Listen,
and the thump.
My mind is racing. My mind is racing trying to find a comeback because I'm convinced the guitar world has done some pretty stupid names. And I'm not going to go into the power supply that's contentious for its
Listen,
name.
Okay, that is a battle that you're not going to win, I'm afraid, mate.
I know.
I like the fact they've really gone all out on their, I'm just on their website here, on their fret wraps, because they're like, you can't just offer one fret wrap, because, you know, you've got to have some variation in there. So there's a Matt Heafy signature fret wrap, which is amazing. He's like, oh, yeah, what have you got? Signature guitar, signature amp? Nah, signature fret wrap, mate. And they also do a World Flag Series. Unfortunately, they don't offer all the flags in the world. So, you know, my country of Cameroon is not mentioned here, you know.
Solid flag. Great football team on Super Soccer.
Yeah, football team in real life. In fact, I must admit, quite stupidly, they've done the World Flag Series, and then you can select the different colours, but it won't tell you the country flag. So if you don't really know your flags, it just says red, white, and blue. I mean, is that France? Is that America?
Is it the UK?
Is it the UK?
Yeah. Maybe they've not paid the. Not paid right. the flag rights. This really is like, it's like playing Pro Evo and you like end up playing as, you know, Manchester Red rather because they've not paid the rights.
Yeah, like does red, white and blue no longer ship to the EU now? If it's
exactly. Yeah, you've got to be careful because otherwise it's just like extra, you know, extra.
I did see a thing today which was a picture of Captain America and it said he hasn't got 50 stars on his chest, so actually he's Captain Puerto Rico, which I thought was brilliant. It's the same flag. It's that thing going around of all those people like doing the American, thinking what is the American flag as an emoji, but actually it's the Puerto Rican flag.
Nice. Which I think is brilliant. I'm a fan of any accessories brand a la Kaiser that's, you know, super into kind of offering a ton of finishes. In fact, one of my I received a nice birthday gift today, which was a surprise, which was a fret wrap 3-pack of leopard print, tiger print, and zebra print. So just
fantastic.
Nice, keeping it nice and subtle.
Depending on which area of the big cat. I've lost it. I thought that was going to be really smart and really funny, but no, I've totally fallen over myself here. We should say it is Naomi's birthday and she is here hanging out on her birthday with us idiots instead of, I don't know, I assume you had like a big party down your favourite really busy pub that you were going to go to today.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I've just fallen on a tough lockdown time, so I had to be nice to you guys and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, happy birthday.
I'm joking.
Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, and I'm very glad to be here as well.
I am pretty sure that I absolutely took the week off when it was my birthday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're one of those.
It's my birthday.
Every week is my birthday.
I think I might have worked an extra hour today as well.
I thought I might be one of the... and I'm guessing really actually probably the same for you, Naomi. It's like, you know, last year your birthday would have been pre... pre-lockdown. So you've been like, oh, I'm one of the lucky ones. I've avoided not having my birthday in lockdown. Mine's in about 2-3 weeks. So it's just like, yes, also going to be that as well.
Yeah, I totally had that effect. And I mean, I don't make like a big deal of birthdays or anything, especially like, I mean, I don't know if you guys have found this, but like when you're kind of gigging regularly and getting used to that, and like the last few years, we were so busy with function gigs. Honestly, the thought of a night out for my birthday was just a bit like, yeah, cool, like whatever. But yeah, definitely after an entire year of not gigging or going out for drinks, I definitely was a bit like, oh. This time, so yeah, I don't know if you might have a similar effect, Matt, because ours have taken so long to roll around. We're all deep in the drought now, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so.
It is the end times. Now, before we start talking about the Believe in Music NAMM 2021 news, Matt, we're planning this pedal build off. You versus me making a pedal board, and we're collecting the things that we're going to put on our cool Alder and Ash pedal boards, and you've absolutely done me today because you've picked up one of this. You've managed to get a Chase Bliss Automatone, the CXM Reverb, the most expensive new pedal on the market.
I think it's the most expensive pedal I've ever owned, potentially. Right. Yeah, damn. I mean, they're retailing at what, $899, I think, in the UK at the moment. So yeah, massive shout out to Joel at Chase Bliss for helping me source one. They were incredibly tricky to get hold of. I think they announced them in NAMM last year, and I think they only really started hitting the market maybe November.
Do you know what serial number you have?
I can't remember. 207? It's got a 7 in it. Yeah, and, you know, I'd seen a few demos. Not that many people had demoed it, I'm guessing, because a lot of people that, you know, they hadn't actually given out any to many people actually reviewing them. So there was only a few demos out there. And I plugged it in, and it is quite simply, flying faders aside, it is quite simply the best reverb I've ever tried.
As versatile as the preamp is, you know, purely versatility.
Yes, in I guess because a lot of people go instantly for the ambient, you know, as did I, because it has infinite reverb time. But it's got three algorithms: hall, plate, and room. So there's no spring sound on it. So it's designed after like 80s rack units, basically, or 78, like kind of the the iconic lexicon reverbs. And it's interesting because rather than a decay time, your EQ determines the decay time. So you've got bass, middle, and treble, and depending on how you set those, sets the decay of the reverb and the tone of the reflections. So you can lower the treble and the mid quite heavily and then crank the bass, and what you'll get is quite a short reverb, but it's got this real like boomy bottom end decay to it. So really good for like tailoring some sort of really unique sounds. And then, yeah, hooking up with an ES8 and just watching the faders go up and down is just ridiculous.
It's extremely cool.
It's cool. It's got a couple of really nice features. Like it's got a freeze mode on it over MIDI. So you can do two things. You could max everything out, you know, with an expression pedal and sweep between two sets of fader settings. You can hit a button and it will lock the decay in wherever you set it. So even if you use a short reverb, you can lock in a really short, like, freeze almost. It's not as, like, boomy as others. But, yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing. I think if they did a delay, like an analog delay with similar features, it would be... It would be godlike.
I'm holding on for the ring mod.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The
£1,000 ring mod, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I want it to be
the clean boost. I guess the Benson is a clean boost. But it'll be interesting, Joe, because you'll have the Benson and I'll have the...
You'll have the Meris.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Well, let's dive into some news, some Believe in Music news from Believe in Music NAMM 2021. Let's start with Fender, because Fender have brought an awful lot to the table, and some of it's really, really good. In fact, pretty much all of it is absolutely fantastic. Jay, why don't you tell us about the Noventas?
So these, I think, are potentially a very strong early contender for Gear of the Year.
This is Gear of the Year.
Yeah.
This is Gear of the Year.
I genuinely think so. I think this is, there's going to need to be some real strong guitar releases to come close to this. But I assume a lot of people probably would have seen these already, but it's worth just running over them just to give a quick heads up on them, because they have been everywhere. And I mean, this, even to the point where like someone who my girlfriend works with was like, have you seen these Noventas? These Fender Noventa guitars? And like, she doesn't care. She just knows, you know, he obviously knows that I'm involved in guitars and that. But yeah, she's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, fine. She came and spoke to me about the Noventas at lunch one day last week, and I was like, why are you talking about this?
Ah, they are. Like,
but anyway, the Noventa series is comprised of three models, Strat Tele and Jazzmaster, and they all revolve around the Fender MP90 single coil pickup. The Tele has got one of them, the Strat has got two of them, and the Jazzmaster has got, wait for it, you'll never believe it, guys, three of them. I think these are kind of like the spiritual successor to like the Bajas. That's the way that I kind of view it, in terms of what people will do with them and how kind of widespread we're going to see them. I mean, especially the Tele for me is just like,
yeah, the Tele's,
it's fantastic.
The
like, so it comes in three colors. You can have
the three best colors on the Tele.
Yeah, Sunburst, Fiesta Red, or Vintage Blonde. And I mean, the Vintage Blonde, they look like Cabernetas.
Yeah.
So it's really totally stripped back. Look. Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the cut down bridge, the half pick guard, simple controls, just volume and tone. The Jazzmaster has got, I think it's got a five-way switch. I'm not sure, actually. Maybe it does only have a three-way. No, it does have a five-way. Sorry, I just, you had to wait while I read the internet for a sec there. So that's really cool. I just think the whole series is fantastic. They're really affordable. You know, they're all under a grand. I just think these are going to be massive. I think they're going to be so, so cool. And I'm really excited to see, you know, when gigs start happening again. I think they're going to be everywhere. I think these are wicked.
For me, this is the perfect blending of Fender between like Fender's normal sensibilities and the parallel universe. It's like they've managed to take them being sensible and making great guitars that people can play, and them being crazy and trying weird stuff, and they've harnessed those two things together to make these brilliant guitars. I agree with you. I can see these being everywhere. They're the right price, the right finishes. P90s are very in vogue at the moment. I think this is a fantastic release.
Yeah, they're the right amount of weird, aren't they? Because where Parallel Universe was maybe a bit too far for a lot of kind of diehard classic fans, I think this kind of pulls it back a bit.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection.
Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
As well as that, since seeing the Mustang 90, I've wanted to see a similar setup in these models, and here we are.
Yeah, completely. I think it makes sense, and like seeing as a whole range, I think is wicked as well, because you know, if there had only been a Strat, people like, where would that have sat, or where would the the telly have sat, or whatever. But the other one that I think is amazing and really worth looking out for is the Walnut Jazzmaster.
I'm looking at that now.
I haven't seen a picture of that yet.
It's there. You can see it on the Fender website, but it's it's just this really mad kind of hybrid between modern day like punk and like 70s worktop, you know. It's just it looks so cool. It looks really, really cool. So
do Jay, in the MP90, do you know what sort of output it is? I wondered if it was a kind of real high output P90, or whether it was going for something a little bit more.
I don't think it's supposed to be very high output. I think it is supposed to be vintage voiced, as it were. But it's supposed to be quite articulate. The overview I was reading about the pickup earlier was just that it's, you know, Fender refining the, you know, the P90.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I mean, Matt, you would have seen them before, because I think they are the pickups that were in, like, the Modern Players. Like, do you remember the Modern Player Jazzmaster?
Yeah.
The one that was like, I mean, that really did look like it had been cut out of a sideboard from 1972. I haven't played one of these, so I don't know for sure. It's,
it's got all the right specs, though. I mean, putting the compensated brass saddles on for the start, I think that things like that just...
The telly is just like... I realise that I'm extremely boring when it comes to this sort of stuff anyway, but like, I mean, how can you go wrong with that? Look how... I mean, I'm just looking at the blonde one now, and it's just like... It's amazing. It looks so good. You know, like, the neck isn't massive, which some people will think is a bad thing. But, you know, I think that's great. I just think this is going to be such a hit. I'm really excited about this whole series.
I must admit, tempted. Tempted.
They are going to be great. Now, another brand who are bringing an awful lot of things to the table. Sorry, Jay, I know there's an awful lot of Fender stuff.
I'll
mix it up between the brands. But another brand that have brought kind of a lot of things to the table, and one thing that again has sparked a lot of interest and been very exciting, is PRS. Matt Knight, why don't you talk about PRS's newest bolt-on style signature model?
Yes, so NAMM seems to have been a lot of signature guitars this year. And again, I don't know if it's just maybe because we're seeing it from the outside, you know, there's no physical event, we're noticing a lot more. They actually did a run of virtual events up to NAMM, including some live streams with some artists. There was a limited edition Silver Sky in their flip-flop kind of pearlescent finish, which was, I think, limited to 1,000 pieces, which is already sold out across the world, I believe. And then the one thing that I saw this morning, which I thought was very, very cool, is they have given a signature model to Mark Lethierry. So Mark Lethierry from Snarky Puppy, as well as some of his own solo stuff. For me, a player I've really only got into a couple of years ago, absolutely amazing, like, technical player, you know, from sort of jazz, funk, rock, a bit of everything, basically. And has played a couple of sort of odd S-style or, you know, S-style guitars for quite some time. They have gone with the Fiore, which I think is Italian for flower. Did I read that somewhere or did I make that up? Yeah. Which is basically a bolt-on. It's not an SE. It's just part of their sort of bolt-on range. It looks like a slightly different body shape, but I'm pretty sure it's probably the same as others. HSS volume and master tone, I think, and then a five-way switch. But very, very cool. I'm into it in a sort of, I want to say, grey. but I don't know what they're actually.
I think it's white, but it's satin, isn't it? So it gives it almost a grey look.
like a satin white. But yeah, basically. Oh no, I'm just rereading here. The Fury is a completely new body shape. I was going to say it looked a bit strange.
It's slightly not offset. Like if
it's a little bit more S-like,
yeah,
in its body style. Yeah, so effectively 25.5 inch scale length, HSS, and then they've just got, I think, yeah, there are a couple of other color choices. I can't see it here on the press release, but kind of maple neck. I think that's just designed around him, so very much an all-rounder. It's going to cover a lot of styles, a lot of different sounds, and
That's it. This is just versatility, and kind of in it being quite modern, like it being scratch plateless HSS. This is their more modern version of the Silver Sky. This is their S style guitar.
Yeah, and there's a couple of others in the range. They've done the special semi hollow, which is very cool. I'm always a fan of a hollow semi hollow PRS. But they've actually done an SE Custom 24 in some sort of pink. I don't know what the official color is, but it's a very vibrant flame topped pink. Looks extremely cool. So they've obviously been listening to the podcast, going, need to get these guys into some guitars, so I'm gonna have to get some pink ones out there. And I must admit, I thought the Silver Sky in the two color Luna looked very good. It's like a purple blue. Some very, very cool releases. But Mark Lettieri, I'm personally quite excited about. I think that's a cool guitar and a great artist to go for.
Yeah, for sure. They're actually reintroducing their Kingfisher bass as well, which is pretty cool. See something back from PRS on the bass front.
Because nice. Thanks to talk about Gear of the Year then.
But yeah, I kind of think, coming back to the Fury, it seems like PRS are getting on board with this movement towards a simple modern player's guitar that we saw in the DK24, that we saw in the Music Man Sabre, that we saw in the Ibanez AZs. It's that sort of minimal modern look and approach.
A kind of versatile, going for that super versatile guitar, isn't it? Something that sort of does have a sound of its own, but at the same time, you can really, you can shape it. You're kind of in the same way that the Valentine is. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I sound like James Valentine from Maroon 5. It's just a really well-designed guitar that will just, you can sculpt into your own thing. It just so happens that another artist had the hand in building it. And just quickly on the colors here, basically a sort of satin red, you can see the swamp ash through, black iris and sugar moon, which I think sugar moon's a great name for a color.
It is
very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I think those we'll see some impact from those this year. I think PRS are gonna have another big year. Now, another brand that always is a favorite of the podcast, always getting into our Gear of the Years quite consistently, is Ernie Ball Music Man. And whilst I guess we haven't seen like a huge Music Man announcement, there's been something very cool from their vault, and there's also something very cool on from their sub-brand Sterling as well. So let's start with Naomi and the Ernie Ball Music Man vault release.
Yes, indeed. So they've done a vault release of 20 short scale Stingrays. So it's five units across four models. One of which is neon pink, Joe. You'll be
absolutely
glad to know.
Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it's some stellar stuff. And additionally, something I think they're particularly good at is sparkle finish. So they've done a blue magic, kind of a deep turquoise sort of sparkle as well. Five per colour, that is mega, mega, mega limited. And I think even as we started recording, some of these might have dwindled. I could be wrong.
Almost definitely.
I feel like on one of them, I just watched the number of pink models go down.
Only two left as we're podcasting on the pink ones.
Yeah. So who have you planted and where, Joe?
In fact, there's only the pink ones have sold, and the micro prism finish ones have sold, which are baked maple on the prism, and then the pink one with its normal maple neck. Yeah, super cool. Not incredibly expensive for the Vault series either.
No, they're not. They are at, is it about two, three, I think, pricing on those. So yeah, not absolute bank breakers, but yeah, I'm personally a fan of the short scale Stingray. I'm a fan of short scales anyway, so I'll welcome most additions to the family of classic models, obviously. But I mean, what do you think, Joe? Have you played a short scale Stingray?
I'd never have. No, like it's something that I think was kind of announced for the first time like last year, and I guess because we've been so less able to get into shops and there have been no events, I haven't really had the chance to do that. I should actually get in contact with Music Man and try and get one sent across to us. Sent across to us. Yeah. I don't know if the bodies are smaller as well as the neck.
That's what I actually was going to ask you. It's hard to
it looks sort of hard in proportion, doesn't it? The whole thing. So it looks like maybe they've cut down the body, which would be a shame for me. I kind of like the stumpiness of a short scale rather than the whole thing looking shrunk. Like I've got a short scale Jazz bass here, but the whole thing's shrunk, and I'm like, oh, I kind of just wish it had a short neck. You know, that would I like the big heavy body of a Jazz bass as I do with the Stingray. But
I was going to say, while we're on the subject of basses, I was just having a look because there's only two left. They are a US online exclusive only, so you can only get them from the Vault on the Ernie Ball website. But I've just noticed here that I just went on there. I was like, what else is new for 2021? I know there was a couple bits we were going to talk about, but the Stingray Special, they have introduced 8 new colours, including Amethyst Sparkle, which is basically
What colour is that then?
It's a very, very fetching purple, with a white scratch plate, like a pearlescent white scratch plate. I think that looks wicked. I'm into that. Amethyst Sparkle, Black Snowy Night, Raspberry Burst, Smoked Chrome, Speed Blue, Burnt Ends, and Forest Green.
And what are we having for dessert?
Yeah, after your Burnt Ends and a bit of Speed, maybe you do need to.
Wow. Okay.
And they've repeated the same in the Stingray 5 as well. Same colours.
Mm. Yeah.
Very cool indeed.
I really like the Vault. I don't spend enough time on the Music Man Vault because it's not...
I hadn't at all either. Yeah, it's a very cool place to hang out if you have a few dollars.
They're certainly not cheap guitars, but they're not Ball Family Reserve prices. You know, they're about the same as a normal Music Man, but you get some really interesting stuff. I'm looking at the basses at the moment. Obviously, they've still got the Ernie Ball Joe Dart, which was that simple kind of ash body with the master volume and a passive 8-pole pickup. And that's, you know, that's 2-3, which isn't bad. You get yourself a fretless 6-string bongo with 2 humbuckers in Dorado Green. That will be there for a while. But
6-string fretless bass magazine. Get it while it lasts.
I literally was about to say, do you mean to tell me you haven't added that to your part?
I thought about it. I did go through a brief bongo phase.
Recently.
Didn't. Yeah, I'm backing out of it. I think it's not the right move. But, you know, one day I'll get there eventually. Now, Music Man's sub-brand Sterling have actually done something which I think might be the most exciting thing from Believe in Music NAMM 2021, alongside the Noventa announcement from Fender. Matt, why don't you talk about my favourite artist in the entire world?
Yes, let's talk about Omar Rodriguez Lopez and the Mariposa. Was ranked really highly in our Gear of the Year last year.
Year before.
And they and I, you know, we've talked about Music Man a lot over the last sort of like 4 years or so, and it was an absolutely cracking guitar. And I remember when we spoke about the James Valentine Sterling, we said how good it was, and I think the quote was from me that they've made a mistake because this guitar is too good for the price, and almost why would you buy the why would you buy the full American one? And they've basically made the same mistake again by offering the Mariposa in a Sterling. And I think this is amazing. I think, yeah, they, in their full, basically the same guitar, although I think, did the, I'm trying to remember here, I can't flick between pages, I just closed it, but the... What? American ones, did they have a trem? They hardtail.
I did have a trem, yeah.
They did have a trem, yeah. So these are
very unusual for Omar. I've never ever seen him use a trem ever.
Yeah. So, but. This is, yeah, basically the Sterling version of the Mariposa. Effectively, exactly the same spec. Obviously, a few different things. Neckwood is just roasted maple, not the full roasted flame maple. Same configuration. So two humbuckers with two volumes, no tone. Pick guard's obviously slightly more dialed back. It's just a plain pick guard. And however, the one disappointing thing is it only comes in Dorado green or Imperial white. So no, no Pueblo pink or whatever Pueblo it was pink. Called.
Yes,
it was. But if these are $699 and they're as good as that James Valentine Sterling, I think I'm going to have to buy one of these. I think this might have to be my guitar purchase of the year. I loved the Mariposa. I thought it was such a great guitar. And I'm sort of missing a two humbucker guitar in my life. And I think this might be it. This for me that, could be
it. It looks so good.
It does.
It does. Really, really does look good. And, you know, we talked about it before. The that Valentine is just, it's fantastic for the money. And if they've been, and actually Matty, I mean, this I've only seen the press release, but it's saying that it's $549.
Yeah.
So it might not even be as much as £699. So
yeah, I think this might be the one. It might have to do it.
It does look very cool.
Yeah, it's sick looking. I'm instantly interested in that.
I can't believe how early, I know it's obviously NAMM week, but I kind of feel like we've got some really strong Gear of the Year contenders straight off the bat for 2021.
Green is really interesting as well.
The Dorado green.
Yeah, I've not seen anything like that before. It's kind of like a dark turquoise, I guess, maybe. It really feels like, look, that one in particular, I mean, it really feels like something out of the Jetsons or something like that. That kind of like, super future retro.
Yeah. I feel like Reverend have done some finishes not far off.
They absolutely have, yeah. I remember, yeah, okay. I think I have a feeling like that Dub King bass was available in something similar.
I think, yeah. It's a, yeah, like you say, Jay, it's like, it's a palette I'm really into and I feel like we're not seeing quite enough of that tone.
Yeah.
Dirty pastel colours.
Yes, exactly. Or like... Yeah. I don't know. My brain always labels them as like autumnal, even though blue isn't autumnal. But that's sort of like, yeah, dark, muted. Can I ask, does anyone have any experience with the body wood?
I was literally about to say the same thing.
Yeah, I Googled it as well. I've got no idea.
I'm looking on the wood database, the home of... wood, it's good
is
to
that
know.
A bit like wood Facebook?
Yeah. It's good to know that NATO has an elastic modulus of... £1,939,000 per square inch. I think.
Oh, really? Is it? Is it that much? Okay, that's good.
I mean, this. Oh my God! The wood database also have a book. I've bought you the book on wood.
That's ironic. But anyway,
what is the body wood?
Niato.
Niato or Niato.
Niato. Yeah.
Niato.
The North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah.
Yes.
That got me too.
You know if you're using it because it's reported to give off a sour smell when being worked on.
Oh, wow.
Oh dear.
Don't we all?
It's going to hate gigs.
Yeah.
Well, I assume once it's treated,
great.
It's
the
okay.
The Mariposa is going to be stinky. Oh.
Oh. I don't know. Because I think was the full Music Man one was Akume, right?
Yeah.
That's yes. Right.
Was it Akume or was it Mahogany?
It was Akume.
Is it?
Akume is... Oh, well, I will get in trouble for this, but my understanding is Akume is like a stent... For like wood noobs like us, Akume is ostensibly a type of mahogany. Though,
right.
Please feel free to write to Joe Branton with your complaints about my comment there. tour the have Joe Branton on your Wood Nerds podcast if you want to complain about me talking about how it's the same. But yeah, I think ostensibly it's the same thing.
But very cool. One dealer in the UK is listing these at 689 currently.
Oh, okay, cool.
But still, I think it's going to be a great guitar. I think it's going to play great. I think it's going to sound great, and I want one.
Yeah, very, very cool indeed. Now, kind of, yeah, I guess in the same sort of tact as all these brands releasing these lovely kind of modern adaptations of guitars and following on from their incredible success, you know, both globally and in the Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year podcast over the last 3 years, Ibanez and their AZ series has been extended again now with a new model, the AZS, which if... You know, the AZ was their S-style guitar. Then the AZS is their T-style guitar. Ibanez stepping into the single cut world with a kind of a modern come classic adaptation of it. And certainly there are four different options within the AZS Prestige model. One of them is scratch plated. The rest of them are scratch plateless and all come with trems, very unusual for a T-style guitar. But the scratch plated one comes with a lovely sunburst. I think there's another colour as well. I think there's a blue available in it. I can't remember.
Yeah, just looking at it there, it's the one that is without trem, actually.
Did I say it the wrong way around? Yeah. So,
no, you just said that they all had trems.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so all except for the one with the scratch plate has trems. The one with the scratch plate comes in a very gorgeous tri-fade burst and also available in a Prussian blue metallic, which is a very Pelamy sort of colour. With
oh, yeah, that looks nice.
Really nice. Yeah,
both those finishes look nice.
Yeah, roasted neck and board, kind of a gold andonized style plate, but I don't think it's actual gold andonized. I think it's a finish on
that. Andonized?
Anodized. Yeah. I always do that. That's what's the other? Yeah, it's when I keep saying ethereal. Yeah. I'm such an idiot. But yeah, really cool. They've taken that T-style control plate where you get the volume, the tone, and the pickup selector, and they've sort of curled it so that it's kind of more in line with the body shape rather than just sort of a straight thing slapped in the middle of the body. A mini humbucker in the neck. Is it Seymour Duncan?
It's a Seymour Duncan Magic Touch Mini, which I've not heard of. Very, very interesting wiring. Has something called the Alter Switch. So it's a three-way pickup selector that goes between full humbucker, split humbucker with the bridge, and then just the bridge. And then you can then also have neck humbucker with the single coil in parallel. And then you can have the middle or half of the neck and the bridge in series. Wow. So I think what they're going for, as they've put here, the classic twang that this style of guitar is known for. So I get a feeling. Interestingly, I think the kind of players and one of the signature models, which we might touch on in a minute, a lot of these people have been playing like Sirs, and obviously John Sir came from Fender. So I think they've probably tried to go for that sort of vibe on some of these. But I'm in the black one, I think is amazing. Do you know what price these are?
Just quick. I don't. They're Japanese made prestiges, so I'm guessing $2,000.
The one for me is the one without the trim. I think that looks the best.
I agree. It's really cool. Really cool. Interested to see how these do, the sort of impact that this has on, I guess, players looking for something that maybe has a bit more of a classic look, but still has all those modern sensibilities. Really cool.
Yeah, I think I'm just having a look here. Listing in the UK at the moment, 1899, made in Japan. And then right below it, we think you might also like this Sir guitar.
they know what's up.
So they sort of know. And again, I think, you know, Ibanez is a smart move. You know, they've it's a new range of players doing different things. You know, I think it's great again that they're going for a wider, more diverse range of signature artists as well. So you had Yvette Young as well, taking in sort of like a different body shape. And then this year also Larry Basilo, her signature, the LB1, which comes in a rather fashionable purple.
It's a very cool colour.
Yes, which is very, very cool. Again, you know, HSS T-style, I guess you would say. But yeah, and as I said right at the beginning, loads of artist stuff. Josh Smith, surprisingly, blues guitar whiz, has had a signature. And John Gom, sort of like one of the leading sort of fingerstyle acoustic players, who's
Where
had a signature, a signature Loudon for ages, has suddenly come out with a signature Ibanez. So,
wow,
there we go. Interesting.
Very cool. Very cool. Exciting stuff from Ibanez. Maybe a slightly muted year last year for them. So,
yeah, you know. The only thing I remember from last year was the Pia, which was the Steve Vai. And as someone who's a fan of Steve Vai recently, I've got to say, his lockdown look is wicked. He's cut all his hair and grown a massive beard. And
has he?
Yeah.
He had seriously cool hair, didn't he?
Yeah. He's now he's just like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm into it. He's like, it's like vintage Vai, you know, sort of going into his old age. But yeah, it's, I think it's wicked. They've, you know, for a company that, especially while me and Jay, obviously when we knew each other working in a dealer, Ibanez were all just about RGs and S series. And it's like, have you got that other one they make that Joe Satriani plays? And it's just so not that anymore. It's wicked. It's so much more modern and a brand that, you know, I can certainly feel a little bit more passionate about, apart from maybe the names, the really, really... I mean, I honestly, the Josh Smith signature is the flat V1. I'm like, what? How would you even know that was his signature? So, such a bizarre model name. The flat V1.
Yeah, yeah. They've never really got their names down, have they?
No.
But, oh well. No. Well, moving on, let's talk about something that's not a guitar. Let's talk about Jay's favourite thing in the entire world, accessories. Specifically a Fender accessory, Fender stepping into the world of power supplies.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I know, like, so as soon as this got announced, people were tagging me in the Facebook group constantly, just being like, here we go, another round, here we go, another gear of the year where it's a power supply, blah, blah, blah. In all seriousness, these are so, so cool, and I'm really, really excited to be able to talk about them. So Fender have released three new power supplies for your pedal board. There's a five out, so they're called the engine room. They are essentially the same spec, but there's a 5 output, an 8 output, and a 12 output. They all can offer up to 500 milliamps of isolated output. Fully isolated outputs, 500 milliamps per output, so you could run like 12 timelines if you wanted to.
Yes,
off of one of these, and it would handle it without any trouble whatsoever. The 8 and the 12 both have got two outputs which you can switch between 9, 12, and 18 volts. And they've both got USB-A and USB-C out. So, you know, you can charge your phone. I mean, even if you don't want to plug your pedals in, you can just charge your phone. I mean, how cool is that? Just fantastic. Just have that up on your desk, charging your phone. You don't want to plug your phone straight into your computer. That's how the 5G gets you. But if you plug it in through your power supply, because it's isolated, you're completely safe. But no, in all seriousness, I think... Sorry, go on, Naomi.
I was just going to say, my thought straight away with that was powering like MIDI keyboards. Like, there's quite a lot of USB powered, you know, kind of smaller modules and stuff out there. So is this gonna open up that world in terms of not having, or in terms of having less in the gig bag with you?
Completely. No, I think it's a really good point. And in all seriousness, I think it's just, I think it's kind of future proofing these a little bit. I think we're going to see a lot of USB powered stuff coming out over the coming, you know, months and years. And, I think they look great. They're in like a kind of brushed, it's like a low profile brushed,
grey chrome. They're going to fit under, you know, basically any board. They come with loads of different cables. And I just think they're absolutely banging. I just, the fact that it's, you know, fully isolated, they're all 500 milliamp outputs. The 8 and the 12, I think, have both got a auxiliary output. So you could like power another one off of one of them. So you could buy, for example, like the 12 and the 5, and you could power the 5 from male-female power cable that you get with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's IEC. So you get like a male-female IEC cable with the larger two, I think. And so, yeah, you could basically daisy chain off of that. And I think they look great, and power supplies are absolutely the coolest part of any pedal board. And I will defend that until my dying breath.
Well, there's no pedal board without the power supply, is there?
Naomi, you took the words right out of my mouth, mate. And, you know, that's always been my thing is, you know, Joe and Matt and, you know, all these people that listen to this podcast who are like, oh, power supplies. Oh, they're so boring. Oh, I can't believe Joe likes power supplies. And then they all come crawling back. They all come crawling back and they're like, oh, yeah, I got that power supply that Jay was talking about a couple of months ago. Oh, I'm really sorry. This has changed my life. And I'm like, listen, you don't need to apologize to me. You just need to apologize to yourself.
Is the profile height the same on all three of them?
I don't know.
It's hard to tell actually from the pictures, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just because the smaller one's closer that it sort of looks a little deeper. you say they fit underneath most things, right? So that you can use them.
I think they are, because if you look at the writing, there looks to be the same sort of gap between the top of the writing and the top of the power supply on each one. Cool. So, yeah, I think they are the same profile.
I'd be interested to see what the profile is on those, just in comparison to like things like when MXR released the latest
Isobrick Mini.
The Isobrick Mini I had, which was great and like a wonderful profile, and you could fit it underneath like the flat pedal train boards, which is currently where I have it set up. But the one before that was fantastic when it was on my Friedman board, which is very deep and had lots of space for it. I think the DC brick or whatever it's called, the one before.
DC brick. Yeah.
But when I tried to move it to a custom pedal boards board, where you put the power supply beneath almost the shelf that comes supplied, and the shelf was too shallow for the brick, and I was like, oh, this, I mean, custom pedal boards are quite a conventional, you know, standard brand. It seemed like an odd thing for it not to be able to do. You know, it's not a problem, you just use a slightly different power supply, but I thought it was odd that MXR hadn't, you know, sorted out that profile issue in what was was quite a standard unit.
I mean, in fairness, you know, if you're talking specifically about the DC brick, that came out like 2009, 2010.
Yeah, you're,
you know,
right.
So that's which is probably why the Isobrick Mini, which obviously is the power supply which was the controversial late runner in Gear of the Year 2019 or whatever. That's the one that people gave me slack for, and that's the one that I've had these apologetic messages about. That's fine. You don't need to apologise. It's fine. It's fine because, I know I was right. So I think these are wicked. I like, unironically, any time I get the opportunity, I'm talking about these. And we'll do so all the way through until the end of the year.
Of course he will. Now, that is all the time we have this week. You can, of course, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/guitarnerds for an entire extra episode every week. You can become a Patreon supporter for as little as $1 a month. At $1, you'll get this episode ad-free and early every week. $5 will get you access to the Patreon special episode and our entire back catalogue. And $10 will get you the lot. Plus, I'll sing my thanks to you at the end of every episode. You can find us on all your favourite social media platforms and join the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook to get involved in our weekly episode discussion. Thanks for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. I spend all of my time.
James Storm, Jonathan Hattie, Paul Drew, Russell, Kristen Abbott, Diana, Yogi the guitarist, Carl Harris, Cloud Lipton, Dr. Simon Stroh, Hobart, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Shade M, Jeffrey Wax, Eric Heber, Samuel Frost, Brian Einstein, Kevin Van Der Linden, Jacob McGee, Andy Manley, Scott Matic, Robert Butterworth, Simon Milbourne, Marcus Al Calawagi, Stuart Robson, Neil Milton, Christian Van Hansen, Keith Adam, Brian McDermott, Michael McVeigh, Eric File, Andrew Good, Joe Patrick, Merrick Peters, Richard Sunworth, Jack Cutmore, Ken Sayers, Adrian Day, Abe Matthews, Kytopia, The Band, Sean Arbo, John Anglin, Rob Bull, Tucker Abadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stephen Burke, Aaron Sherman, Dave Lee, Jake Gray, Scott Kennedy, Blake Wyland, Christopher Loser, Hans Ams, Derek Rich, Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, Jamie Short, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Robin Smith, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan, Lou Grant.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.